And another thing they do every year is a test exactly 1 week before, and this was monitored widely, on the 14th of June, the frequencies planned to be used, but with other BBC World Service programming. Alan Pennington and the British DX Club, with help from someone at Wolverton, got the planned frequencies, 7255 via UAE, 12005 Wolverton.
I'm Jesse DeGroot, the marketing representative for the Mack Hayden Theater in Chatham, New York, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Ocho, seis, uno, dos.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. 72.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
A radio network, an empire upon an empire.
I make no promises.
You on the mark.
With one purpose only. To point out and make public the dishonesty, now in complete control of the government of this state.
There is only one man who can rid the politics of this state of the evil domination.
Hello. Hello.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that former WGXC programmer Alan Skerritt, who died in January, will be honored at this year's Juneteenth celebration in Hudson on June 17th. Tanya Jackson, the Juneteenth lead organizer, said, and I quote, "He was the director of the Mental Health Association for years. He spread the importance of the NAACP when we had an active chapter. He had a radio show for years. He left a hole in the heart of the community when he passed. We will have a memorial display of artifacts from history and a moment of remembrance for him as well," end quote. Skerritt was the head of the local chapter of the NAACP. Juneteenth is a federal holiday commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans in the United States. The Juneteenth celebration in Hudson includes a street party, exhibitions and performances, and is sponsored by Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition. Jackson said, and I quote, "We have a kids' zone and we have games and activities for adults. We have local vendors to provide food and other goods and services. We also have the Resistance Revival Chorus coming in, sponsored by PS21. They're a chorus of women and non-binary folks that are New York City-based. They will be performing a selection of songs that are rooted in the tradition of resistance," end quote. Fourth Ward Council Member Malachi Walker said, and I quote, "Juneteenth celebration is very necessary, especially in Hudson. I think we got sidetracked with a lot of negative aspects of what's going on in our city. We forget to pay continual homage to our great African-American leaders, people and families who, as far back as I can remember, made a huge impact on Hudson with a lot of history. Starting with my mother, Ida Cross, and Pops Edward Cross being my hero. People like the Uzis, Mosleys, Waldhouses, Mackeys, Robertses, and Carr families. There are so many to think of. Thinking of the late great Tony Cross and the late great Stanley Keith, who's done so much for our community. But we're happy to be able to celebrate such a joyous occasion in our city," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Andrea Mako reports in Porcupine Soup that a documentary film will premiere later this month on PBS telling the story of Casa Susana, a retreat for transgender women and cross-dressing men in the 1960s in Jewett in Greene County. The 150-acre resort was a rare place for transgender individuals to go in the 1960s without fear of being incarcerated or institutionalized. French director Sebastian Lifshitz said, and I quote, "Casa Susana is an amazing story," end quote. While transgendered individuals faced all sorts of opposition at the time, the story says, and I quote, "It was reportedly not uncommon for Susana and guests to get dressed up and go into Hunter without creating much of a stir," end quote. Casa Susana closed in the 1970s like many Catskill resorts and boarding houses. The film Casa Susana had its world premiere at the 2022 Venice International Film Festival and premieres on PBS channels on June 27th. Read more about this story in Porcupine Soup. Nick Reisman reports in New York State of Politics that the Attorney General's office on June 15th announced an election protection hotline ahead of the primary election June 17th through June 27th in New York for any problems at polling locations. Anyone can call 866-390-2992 between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. June 17th through June 27th to report voting irregularities. New York Attorney General Letitia James said, and I quote, "The right to vote is paramount to the integrity of our democracy. Our election protection hotline is a key resource available to all New Yorkers throughout our great state to provide helpful guidance and address concerns, whether they are voting by mail, stopping by an early voting site, or casting their ballot in person at the polls. My office will ensure that New Yorkers can securely and effectively participate in our electoral process, end quote. New York has set up an election hotline to report voting problems for each election since 2012. Read more about this story in New York State of Politics. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Celebrate Juneteenth, but racism still kills. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Juneteenth is the newest federal holiday signed into law by President Biden in 2021. It commemorates June 19, 1865, the day enslaved people in Texas first learned they were free, more than 2.5 years after they were declared free by President Lincoln in his Emancipation Proclamation. For generations, formerly enslaved people and their descendants have observed Juneteenth. It's grown over the decades, embraced by an increasingly diverse population that realizes its historical importance. But despite Juneteenth's long overdue acceptance as a federal holiday, the black population of the United States still suffers intolerable levels of discrimination, de facto segregation, health and wealth disparity, and many other symptoms of systemic racism. Olympic track and field star Tori Bowie was just 32 years old when she died at home last month. The Orange County, Florida medical examiner reported she was 8 months pregnant and in labor when she died, most likely from eclampsia, a complication of pregnancy. Bowie, who is black, won bronze, silver, and gold medals in the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. The CDC recently marked Black Maternal Health Week in April, noting black women are 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy complications than white women. Bowie's Olympic teammate, Tiana Bartoletta, wrote after learning of her death, quote, "As of June 2023, 3 of the 4 members of Team USA's 4x100-meter relay team, who ran the second fastest time in history and brought home the gold medal, have nearly died or did die in childbirth. We deserve better. Hashtag Black Maternal Health Crisis." In Colorado, Jordell Richardson had just finished 8th grade at Aurora West College Preparatory Academy. On June 1st, the young African-American boy was chased into an alley by 2 Aurora police officers and tackled. "You got me," Jordell can be heard saying on the police body cam footage. An instant later, an officer shot him in the abdomen. Screaming in pain, Jordell shouted, "I'm sorry, please, I can't breathe." He died in pain on the ground. Aurora, a large, diverse working class and immigrant suburb of Denver, is where police killed Elijah McClain on August 24, 2019. A call to police reported a suspicious black male who was acting weird. In fact, he was heading home from the store after buying iced tea. The police response was caught on body camera. Elijah was 23 years old. He was 5 feet 6 inches tall and weighed only 140 pounds. He was believed to be on the autism spectrum. Elijah volunteered at the local animal shelter, playing violin for the stray dogs and cats. Moments after police arrived, he was tackled and put in a chokehold.
"My name's Elijah McClain. Yeah. I'm an introvert and I'm different. Yeah. I'm just different. I'm just different.
My name is Elijah McClain," he said. "I'm an introvert and I'm different," sobbing. "I'm just different, that's all. Why are you attacking me?" "I can't breathe," Elijah McClain cried. Emergency medical technicians arrived and injected him with a lethal dose of ketamine, a sedative. He never regained consciousness and died in the hospital several days later. In the wake of the police killing of George Floyd in 2020, a violin vigil was held outside the Aurora Municipal Center honoring Elijah McClain's memory with classical music. Aurora riot police attacked the vigil. Three of the officers and two of the EMTs involved with McLean's death have been criminally charged, with trials scheduled to start in September. And in New York City, Jordan Neely, a Black Street performer and Michael Jackson impersonator, was assaulted and killed while on the subway on May 1st. He was crying out. He was hungry and thirsty. Daniel Penny, a white 24-year-old former U.S. Marine, put Neely in a chokehold, claiming Neely was threatening passengers. Two other men joined in the vigilante action, pinning Neely's hands and legs as he struggled to breathe. Some of the assault, captured on cell phone video, shows Neely struggling for several minutes before going limp. His death was ruled a homicide caused by compression of neck, chokehold. Daniel Penny was questioned by police, then released. Following growing outrage and protests, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg charged Penny with second-degree manslaughter more than a week later. A grand jury has now formally indicted Penny. These three cases, the deaths of Tory Bowie, Jordell Richardson, and Jordan Neely, each under different circumstances within weeks of each other, are all connected by the painful through line of the Black experience in America, stretching back to 1619, the year the first ship arrived on the shores of Virginia delivering enslaved Africans. White supremacists are trying to obliterate that history to prevent it from being taught. We should celebrate Juneteenth, but we must also remember the bloody history that led to that day in Galveston and commit to fighting racism as it exists today. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts on Sunday there is a 30% chance of showers between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 72 and a northwest wind spinning local windmills around 8 to 10 miles per hour. Sunday night should be partly cloudy with a low around 54. Juneteenth Monday, there is another chance of showers, 30%, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 75 and a wind from the east around 6 miles per hour spinning those windmills. Monday night, there's a 30% chance of rain again, mainly before 8 p.m. with partly cloudy skies and a low around 56. Tuesday, there is a 30% chance of rain once again, possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. with partly sunny skies forecast, a high of 75 and a low around 57. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. Next, we hear an excerpt of a live performance from Delaware County farmer Tiana Kennedy. She got off the Apollyano sailboat that takes cargo up and down the Hudson River on Saturday, June 17th, and headed to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, performed a set on her cello for the Williamsburg Avant-Garde book release party, where author Cisco Bradley talked about the book and pirate radio and more. Here is an excerpt of Tiana Kennedy performing live, accompanied by a pre-recorded track on cello at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, Saturday, June 17th. That was Delaware County-based farmer Tiana Kennedy performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Saturday, June 17th for the Williamsburg Avant-Garde book release party that was broadcast live on WGXC. Next, we hear the first two songs that Catskill's Amy Rigby played on her performance at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill on Friday, June 16th. It was broadcast live on WGXC. Anthony Kuzniski opened for Catskill's Amy Rigby, and here are the first two songs she played.
Is anybody here?